Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We've been talking with Kyle Gorman from Gorman Recruiting about how to build a high-performing team. You know, most businesses, most ministries, most nonprofits, they don't really have the concept down of doing that. They think they have to hire from outside the organization an effective manager to take over things. A lot of the times, you can do that if you know what you're doing. But if you don't know what you're doing, you're just hiring somebody else's problem because that's why they're available in most cases. Now, I'm starting off today's interview, part two of our interview with Kyle. I'm starting off by talking about hiring from within, training the subordinates to go ahead and assume greater areas of responsibility. And the example I give is about hiring a receptionist, training her to do her job, and then moving her up to helping the office manager and proceeding up from there and filling the vacancies from within as you go along. Now, we're going to get Kyle's opinion on this. Right now, let's jump right back into the interview with Kyle Gorman. The first person they talk to when they call on the phone, you're hiring a receptionist. Okay. Once she gets that portion of her job down, you notice that she's sitting there, you know, really with nothing to do most of the day, maybe have the office manager start training her and helping out with files and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, slowly getting her trained and taking over that officer manager's job when the office manager becomes a department manager.
That's right.
And what are you going to do then? Hire a new receptionist and start the process all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. And start within. But so many people are like, oh, I'm hiring the VP from XYZ company to come in and take over our operations. And like you said, sometimes that leads to a toxic environment.
Yeah, that's right. And and that's where we have to understand, you know, what's the culture that we have in our business and what's going to make sense here. And again, that's where we're looking at, you know, the skill set. So we look for three things: aptitude, personality, and commitment. But the focus is on that personality, followed by commitment, and then aptitude. Because if you have the right personality and the right commitment to this organization and to this career path, then the skill set, the aptitude side, those things can generally be taught. Now, we do have to be careful not to put someone in a position that just is not going to fit their skill set. Yeah. But if they've been with our company for a while, hopefully we know that. You know, where we see this mistake often made is this is sort of this epidemic in business. For some reason, we love to put great salespeople in sales management roles.
Those are two
completely different skills.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be very careful of that, of understanding the type of skill set we have in someone, and don't promote just for the sake of promoting. But when you have someone, and that's a great example, you have someone that's been a receptionist and they've done some great administrative duties. Maybe they filled in for the office manager when they've been on vacation. And you've got this opportunity to develop them. Then your office manager position is taken care of. And
yeah.
So then you can kind of start that whole process over again, because you are teaching and training and developing the people within the organization every day as part of the culture of the organization.
Amen. Now, you work mainly with businesses in recruiting potential employees and staff, not so much the individual person?
That is correct. So our main focus is helping a company find great people, not so much helping great people find a company to work for. And so there is a bit of a variance on that. You know, we always love talking to great candidates that are out in the market, but our main focus is helping a company and helping the business owner or business leader find, you know, take that off of their task list of going out and getting and finding, identifying great people to work in the company.
Okay. Well, how do you help the company find those people that the company needs?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the way I always say this, Bob, is that we don't have any tools that everyone else doesn't have access to. We maybe just have slightly better access to those tools. And so what I mean by that is, you know, right now, one of the largest job boards out in the market is on Indeed. We post our jobs to Indeed just like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. Now, a few differences. One is we generally have better placement on those job boards. The other is we are analyzing the different locations that our jobs are posted on a weekly basis. So what we are trying to identify at all times is, where is the best performance? Where are we getting the most candidates? Where are we getting the best candidates? And where are we hiring candidates from? And what I mean by that is, and that's really the most important metric that we're looking at. If, let's say, our last three hires have come from candidates that came from LinkedIn, but we're getting a third as many candidates on LinkedIn as we are Indeed. Well, LinkedIn is still the higher performing location. That's where we're getting the best candidates. And so we are monitoring that every week, trying to make sure that we are investing our resources in the right place. And everyone else out there can do that. And, you know, it's free advice. Feel free to use that. The difference is, when we are recruiting at the scale that we are, that is part of our kind of core process in our company. Whereas if your core process or your core function is around insurance or retail or wealth management, that's not something you have time to worry about or deal with. And we do, because that's what we're focused on, is making sure that we're using those resources properly.
Amen. Amen. You know, you've seen the news reports and read the articles and stuff where there is a lot of backlash for standing up for Christian values in today's society. I mean, how is that affecting the workplace environment as well?
Well, I think what's happened is it's made people, I'm going to use the word scared. You know, especially where we see this is in these small businesses. You know, small business owners have sort of become scared of being open about their faith. And it's a real shame, because we absolutely have every right in the world to be open about our faith and our business. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of that. And a couple of things that I think people have to understand. One is, if we are going to be open about our faith and the way that we operate our business, and we're going to operate it with biblical principles, then we have to be consistent with that. And that's no different than anything else that we would do, but there has to be consistency in how we're operating the business, and that we truly are doing it under biblical principles at all times. Now, are we going to fail occasionally? Sure we are, because we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory. But we've got to try to remain consistent with that. And then the other thing that I think is important for us to understand is that we are not a Christian, a parent, business owner,
Right.
We are that our faith has to be the fabric of who we are at all times. Amen. And I'll admit, Bob, that's one of the things that I struggled with up until just a few years ago, because to me it was like, well, I've got sort of my, you know, the faith side of my life, and the family side of my life, and the business side of my life, and I was putting commas between all of those things. And what I ultimately, you know, finally realized and really embraced is that me being a Christian and me loving the Lord, that is the umbrella of everything that I do. And if it's not part of my business, then it's not part of everything that I do. And so it's really helped shift my mindset into understanding God has blessed me with an amazing wife, amazing children. And as part of that, God has blessed me with this business. And it's just as all of my other resources aren't mine, they're His, the same holds true with this company. This is His business. I've just been asked to steward it. And if I don't steward it properly, there's no reason for Him to ask me to continue down this path. And so we as business leaders have to understand it is absolutely okay for us to be open and honest about our faith. And as long as we're consistent and it's truly part of who we are at all times.
Amen. Amen. I can't agree more. How can companies make their policies clear, especially relating to their Christian values? How can they make their policies clear to potential applicants and not be labeled as discriminatory in their hiring practices?
Well, the first thing that I generally recommend is go back to your core values. And if you've not created those or not defined them, really, you don't create core values as much as you simply define what's already there. The first thing you need to do is go define those core values. And just briefly, let me explain what I mean by that. Core values are not something that you, if you're an established business, they're not something you say, okay, well, this is who we are going to be. The core values are something you sit back and say, who are we? You know, how do we make decisions? How do we operate? And that really is the definition of what your core values are. So the first thing that I recommend is define that in your core values. If you operate under biblical principles, then that should be part of your core values. So one of my first core values is that we operate under biblical leadership. And that means that every decision we make goes back to our core values. And if it doesn't fall into the 5 to 7 core values that you have as a company, that's not the right decision for you. So that's the first thing that I generally recommend is make sure that it's really defined clearly as part of who you are. You know, even in your mission statement and your vision statement, these are all places you can make sure that it's very open who we are as a business. And one of the things that I've seen work very well is whenever you're going through the vetting process with a candidate, if those things are clearly defined about who you are and it's truly part of the culture of your organization, share that with potential candidates. And it doesn't have to be something that you're in their face with it, but you can just simply share, you know, a single sheet that says, hey, here's our mission, our vision, here are the core values, and here's a little bit of, about our company and about our ownership. I just want to make sure you're comfortable with this. Amen. Something as simple a statement as that, and when they see on this that one of your core values is biblically based leadership, when they see an overview or a bio of your owners and you talk about you know, that your faith is really the guidance that you use to lead this business, when you are open about those things, then those candidates understand what they're getting into. And you then can be open with them to sort of spark some of that dialogue to say, I want to make sure you're comfortable with this, because it's not uncommon in our business to have clients come in and ask to be prayed for. It's not uncommon for, you know, my local pastor to come in and for us to have lunch and for him to come pray for us in this business. We're going to pray before meetings. And, you know, you're not required by any means, but we actually have a group that has a Bible study that meets on Wednesday mornings here in the office. When you can be open, nothing that I said there is illegal. Not a bit of it is illegal.
Amen.
But what you do is you just let them know, I need you to understand where we come from. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a Christian to work here, but you need to understand that is part of the fabric of who we are as a business.
Amen. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Now, what are some of the basic principles that a hiring manager or boss needs to know in order to effectively lead a team in today's employment culture?
That's a really great question. You know, I train this and teach this to people all over the country, and there are some basic elements to human nature that I believe that kind of outline some really kind of primary principles of leadership. And really what it comes down to is, you know, if you think internally about what you're looking for and what you need to be led well, what we're doing is we're just reversing that over to say, how am I going to reflect that to others? So one of the first things that we talk about is the need to create clear definition. We've got to define clearly what's expected, what makes someone successful, and how to be successful in their role. And then the next thing we have to do is provide autonomy to actually go do that. So I've defined for you what's expected. Now I'm going to set you free to go do it, give you the freedom to be to succeed, give you the freedom to fail, which is a really, really tough one. You know, we've got proof every day of how God allows that to happen, right? Because of the lessons that are learned through those trials. And the same holds true for us in business and everything else. If we give people the opportunity to succeed, but we also give them the freedom to fail, there are some amazing lessons that can be learned through that. The third thing, so we define, we provide autonomy. And then we encourage sociability. You know, part of our human nature is we need a little bit of sociability. You know, Adam needed Eve and Jesus walked around with 12 other guys. There is a need for a social aspect as part of our human nature.
Amen.
And so we have to encourage that in the workplace. We can't expect to just isolate and silo everyone in our business and then think that they're going to somehow be effective in their role. We need to encourage and promote sociability in the workplace because it's those relationships that generally actually create the retention and the loyalty that we're looking for. So we've got the three. We're going to define autonomy, sociability, and then the last is recognition. We've got to let people know when they do a job well. And Sometimes what we're letting them know is that they just simply hit the status quo. But the whole purpose of recognition is to create repeatable behaviors.
Yeah.
And so what we want to make sure that we are doing as we are leading people is that we are recognizing them for something that we expect them to do over and over again. You know, maybe for an employee that's had some trouble with attendance, they show up on time 3 days in a row and we recognize them for it. And it's sometimes hard to think about that because we think we only want to recognize for going above and beyond. But they just exhibited a behavior that we want them to repeat every single day long term. So we've got to make sure we're going back and we're recognizing them for those things. Amen. So those are four really basic principles that I try to teach anytime I can to help people understand. If you can provide these four basic principles in your leadership style, you can really revolutionize the workforce that you have in your business.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I can't agree more. Now, we talked about there being more jobs than people available. That means companies are needing to compete more to hold on to their people. More pay, more benefits, whatever. How can a company encourage this longevity we were talking about among their employees and staff?
Well, the first step to that is those four things we talked about. So the statistics are showing right now, you're exactly right. We've got more jobs than we do people. The other thing that's happened with that is we've also seen increasing rates of people being dissatisfied in their job. So the latest studies that I'm seeing are looking at about 65% of employees are dissatisfied in their current position.
Yeah.
Now, you know, going back to something I mentioned earlier, job dissatisfaction has proven to have more negative impact on our mental and physical health than even being unemployed. So when we have 65% of our population that is dissatisfied in their job, which means it's negatively impacting finances, family, marriages, if we can help shift that, then we can have an amazing impact on our business and even on our community as a whole. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is the 65% are the people that are actively looking for other opportunities because they're not happy where they are. So in our business, how do we make sure that our employees aren't in that 65% range? Well, we provide those four principles. We define those roles and responsibilities, give them autonomy, sociability, and recognition. And then the other thing is we get to know them and we build relationships with them to find out what is important, what's critical for those individuals. If you have a workforce that for whatever reason, maybe you have a very young workforce, and so for your workforce, healthcare benefits are not critical to them, then quit focusing so much time and energy on healthcare benefits. Mm. But if I have a workforce that work-life balance, meaning they want that teeter-totter to move more towards life than work, well, then I need to find ways to encourage that in my business. I need to find ways to allow people that time off to go have lunch with a kid at school, make sure they hit up a ball game or a dance recital at night without having to worry about being late because of traffic. Make sure that they can, you know, leave a little early on a weekend and take their vacations and take time off with their family. We have to encourage that as business leaders if we want to be competitive in the market, because this evolving workforce is so much more focused on flexibility and autonomy than they are on simply earning a paycheck.
Amen. Yeah, amen. You know, the work culture, it used to be, I remember growing up, you know, my dad, my grandfather, they worked at the same place for 35 years.
That's right.
And then got a pension. You know, it's not like that anymore.
No.
And to try and hold on to the people, the companies actually have to go the extra step to make sure that happens. I can't agree more. Now, we hit on this a few minutes ago. I want to make sure we bring it back up because I don't want to forget it. If a company hires someone and finds out they're not really a good fit, how can, as you said, lovingly, how can they remove someone in a loving way while maintaining the company integrity?
Yeah. Well, that is it's a real challenge. The key is we have to be very intentional about it. And so a couple of things that I always like to talk about with this. One is when we talk about them not being a good fit, are they not a good fit culturally? Or are they not a good fit by skill? And if they're a good fit culturally, but not by skill, then if there's any way possible, let's find an opportunity for them in this business that's going to help them thrive.
And
so that needs to be our defense number one. Now, if there's not, and I certainly understand there's a lot of opportunities when there's just not place for them in the organization, then whenever we decide that it's time to remove someone from the company, just as we mentioned earlier, we can't take that lightly. This is a very big decision. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we are very intentional and loving about it. And the way that we do this is we have to be transparent and open. They have to fully understand what those expectations are and what's happening, kind of the path that they're going down. We almost want them to know that we are working on an exit strategy for them. Mm. So what we do, the way that I talk about this is we want to provide expectations, timeline, and consequences. And basically what we're doing here is when we know someone needs to move out of the organization, we're going to identify what are the expectations that have not been met. And we're going to sit down and we're going to talk to them about that. And we're going to let them know, here are the expectations that haven't been met. Here is what we expect of you. And then we're going to give them a timeline to meet those expectations. Now, generally, they've already proven that they can't meet those. That's why we're having the conversation to begin with. Mm-hmm. So what we can do in that conversation to be loving about it is, let's say, Bob, we'll just use a simple example of attendance. If someone has been consistently late and or not shown up at all, and that's the focus that we're going to have with them, then we're going to say, look, the expectation is that you cannot be late or absent anytime in the next 30 days. And if you are, then we have to remove you from the organization. We have to remove your position from the company. Mm. Now, we provided an expectation, we provided a timeline, the 30 days, and we told them what the consequence is. Now, in your organization, the consequence may be we're going to have a formal write-up, and then the formal write-up is going to have a verbal warning. And maybe you have a process that you go through, that's fine, but you have to give an expectation, a timeline, and a consequence. And your expectation has to be black and white, a checkbox almost. Yeah. You can say you did it or you didn't do it. But the other thing that you can do here, and this is where that in itself, I think, is much more loving than what we tend to do, which is we put it off, then right. We fire someone and they get blindsided. But the other thing that we can do, when you know, especially that we're within those last 2, 3, 4 weeks before them being terminated, is we can encourage them to find their next opportunity. Mm-hmm. I can sit here with you, Bob, and I can say, Bob, we've talked about this several times over the last 3 months, and we just aren't meeting the expectations that we need. Here's my concern is that in the next 3 weeks, if you don't meet this expectation again, we're going to remove you from the company. Have you been looking for another opportunity out there? Because I don't want you to wake up one day without a job. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about the career path that might make sense for you? Here's some things that I've seen about your skills and your personality. I think if you were in this environment, you could really thrive there. Have you looked into that type of opportunity or that type of career path? And that's how we can lovingly help remove them from a bad situation and help get them into the right situation is make sure they're not surprised by the path we're putting them down, but let them know we are still here to help you. Just the business can't justify the actions that you're taking right now.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. I like that. Now, you have a podcast. So mm-hmm. Tell me about your podcast. You've been doing this for a few years now, correct?
Yes, I have. So we have the Employer Blueprint podcast, and the Employer Blueprint brand is part of a leadership coaching and management coaching program that I offer. And so the Employer Blueprint podcast is really, it's an interview style podcast where we talk to other business leaders to help provide information and resources on growing a business, developing a great company culture, scaling a business, and leading people. And so my whole goal and sort of our mission and our and the businesses that I operate are to provide freedom to business leaders by helping them recruit, retain, and develop high-performing teams. That's sort of the synopsis of everything that I do. And the podcast is another resource that we have to help with that. So we meet with business leaders all over the world that can share their story and share the nuggets of knowledge that they've been able to pick up to help you scale, lead, and run a great business.
Yeah, amen. I've listened to a few of your episodes, getting ready for our interview, mm-hmm. and you're really a great interviewer. These are really interesting episodes. So I highly recommend your podcast to our listening audience if you need some business insight. As Kyle's been sharing with us, and they're outstanding. They really are.
Thank you.
Kyle, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, to get more information on your company or how you can help them or even do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, so we have several different avenues, but you can certainly find me on LinkedIn at LinkedIn at Real Kyle Gorman. And then you can also check out kylegorman.com. You can go to gormanrecruiting.com. Any of those, you know, have some contact forms. You can reach out to us. I'd love to talk to you. You know, even if you just have some questions, I really think that there's a lot of value just in being able to bounce ideas off of people. So if you're running into a challenge or a struggle, and you just want some insight or some thoughts or another piece of advice, I'm happy to help with that as well. So check out any of those locations, and from there you can hit up a contact form and reach out to us.
Amen. Amen. I'll put some links of those down in the show notes down below. Folks, if you have a business, you know you need the right people for the right job. And if you're looking for that right job with the right company, you know how hard that can be as well. Well, Kyle Gorman and his organization can help you, business owners, wherever you're at. I absolutely want to recommend that you get in touch with Kyle today. If you have between 3 and 50 people or so in your organization, if you're tired of hiring people with no work ethic who do not perform on the job, and you feel it might be a better use of your time to outsource your talent acquisition needs, then you need to get in touch with Kyle Gorman today. Go down the show notes, click the links, get more information to get in touch with Kyle. It doesn't cost you anything to ask, and the answer may be one that you've never even thought of or thought that you could afford. So just do it today and find out. Kyle, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the program and enlightening us to this unique ministry. It is a ministry. It is a calling that you have, and I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate everything that you're doing and spreading the word. Thanks to your audience for taking the time.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Kyle Gorman and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.